It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Yesterday on the show, we talked to a doctor who gave us some helpful tips on how to start your mental health care journey. But finding an available counselor to begin that process with is not a guarantee for everybody. We're in the midst of a nationwide shortage of therapists. There aren't enough licensed providers to meet the needs of everyone who could benefit from some kind of therapy. One solution that's been getting support is training lay counselors as a way to provide counseling services to people with mild to moderate mental health concerns. An expert on counseling psychology joins us now to explain recent efforts to train non-traditional providers to help address a nationwide therapy shortage. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had a tough time finding an available therapist to meet your mental health needs in your community? Would you consider seeing a trained lay counselor instead? Somebody with maybe not as much training, but still some training, or work with a peer counseling group? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Bruce Wampold is an emeritus professor of counseling psychology at UW-Madison. Bruce, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. It's a pleasure to be here.
Before we get to this idea of lay counselors, what are you seeing out there in terms of a shortage of therapists? How big a problem is this right now?
Well, you described it well. There are not enough trained therapists to serve the population that's suffering from various types of mental distress. As well, our health system isn't really set up so that even if there were therapists, accessing an effective therapist is difficult. There's very little information about which therapist would be best for which type of patient, to know who would be effective to work with. It's a really complicated process, and the environment just makes it difficult to find the right help that's needed for every person.
And that brings us to this idea, and I hadn't heard of until pretty recently, the idea of trained lay counselors who might not have those advanced degrees we might expect. Can you talk about this concept of lay counselors?
Well, we need to be careful how we say this. You know, peer counseling, peer support has been around for decades. So this is not something that's new. It's generating more publicity because of this shortage of therapists. But basically, the idea is that these are providers who have the skill to be able to help people. They receive training. It may not be the best fit for everybody, but the evidence is pretty clear. It's effective for many people suffering from various types of disorders.
Yeah, and I want to distinguish here between peer counseling and lay counseling. Can you talk a little bit about peer counseling, which I have heard a lot more about over the years?
Well, the terms aren't a definite designation. So it isn't something we can say, here's the definite difference between a lay counselor and a peer counselor. Basically, the idea is that these are individuals who are selected because of their skill, given additional training, but they, as you said, don't have advanced degrees. In many instances, they're as effective as trained therapists. You know, there's a great variability in the outcomes by various therapists. We all know some are more effective than others. It depends on the match with the patient, perhaps. But peer counselors also have a range of skill and expertise. So we don't want to say it's necessarily a second tier level of service. It depends on the preference of the person seeking help. You know, many people would prefer to see a lay counselor or a peer counselor than they would a trained therapist. Less stigma, more kind of a feeling of equality rather than hierarchy, although trained therapists should work collaboratively with patients. But we shouldn't think of it necessarily as a tier, you know. You're going to get a psychologist, maybe a licensed professional counselor, a psychiatrist, and then underneath all of that is this lay or peer counselor. It depends on your needs, what your problems are, and what you prefer.
For that lay counselor, someone might worry, well, anybody could claim to be a lay counselor. Rob Ferret could do it, and he'd be terrible at the job. What are some of the basics? What are some of the bare minimums you'd want to see people be trained in before they hang out their shingle?
Well, I've worked with several groups with lay counselors, and the important part is, and we have the technology and the science to be able to do this, is to pick people who have the skills to be effective counselors. You know, we should do the same with therapists as well. And then to give them additional training to monitor the outcomes they achieve with the people they're working with, so that there's some assurance by some organization that these people are working effectively. So, you know, it's not too much different than going to seek a therapist. We really don't have much information as consumers about who the most effective therapists are. Same with peer counselors or any other really helping professional.
Bruce Wampold is with us, Emeritus Professor of Counseling Psychology at UW-Madison, talking about the idea of lay counselors with at least some kind of skills, qualifications, and training being a part of our mental health care system. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Bruce, do you see ways that our current system of healthcare could better integrate peer and lay counseling to make sure that they are accessible and available for people who want and need them?
Well, I think you ask a very important question here. In our health system, it's difficult to incorporate this time of help within the system. I mean, we have the third-party payers, insurance companies, government programs, and it's not easy to fit this idea of peer counseling into those models. Now, there are some model programs that are being rolled out in some locations to be able to do this. But it's an idea that really ought to be investigated and tested to see whether this would improve over the various locations an adequate provision of services.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Mark is with us in Bloomer. Mark, hi.
Hey, so my background is theology, and we cannot get enough pastors to serve our churches. So we have lay pastors now. They do a good job. Theology, psychology, they're both the soft sciences. We can't get enough people to go to the university and become classically trained as a counselor. I'm curious what this is saying about the movement in our country where the soft sciences, we cannot get people to consider. Is it a financial thing? I'm just curious. What's the story behind the shift in our culture?
Mark, thanks for the call. I think some psychologists might argue with the soft science designation, Bruce, but Mark's point that people, is this true? People aren't necessarily pursuing these kind of careers, even in the more, what we might think of as traditional paths toward becoming a therapist?
Well, the problem is not the pipeline with people desiring to become professionals. For instance, at the university in counseling psychology, we have many more applicants than we have places in the programs. So the problem isn't people seeking these careers. The problem is there just isn't the infrastructure to train more people. So that's one of the issues. The other issue, I mean, we might as well talk about this, is that the way our society is set up, we are suffering a pandemic of mental health distress. We live in a stressful society. So you could double or triple the number of therapists and still not be able to meet the demand, because it's just a stressful environment that we live in. And we know stress exacerbates any vulnerability for mental distress.
Mark, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Bruce Wampold, Emeritus Professor of Counseling Psychology at UW-Madison, looking at the idea of training lay counselors to provide more access to mental health care, as well as access to peer counseling. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a licensed mental health care provider, have you noticed a lot of demand for your services? Have you had to turn potential clients away? If you've been seeking some kind of help, what are you running into in your community? Is there the help you need nearby, the right kind of help? What do you think about the idea of expanding the pool of lay counselors to try to help tackle this shortage? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Bruce Wampold, Emeritus Professor of Counseling Psychology at UW-Madison, looking at the idea of using more lay counselors trained in mental health care strategies to address a nationwide therapist shortage. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you yourself offer mental health support in your community as a medical professional, pastor, religious leader, peer support, or as a friend? Would you consider being trained as a lay counselor yourself? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Mark is with us in Madison. Mark, hello.
Hello. Wonderful program. So we have a daughter who is exactly in this position, early 40s, and would like to make a difference in people's lives. She's been frustrated thinking, applied for social work degrees and there aren't enough spaces for people to get in, thinking she could eventually do therapy. She's got a, certified yoga instructor. She finds herself in leadership positions in various organizations, and she's sought out for personal advice and help from people. As her parents, we're wondering, what's the legal liability insurance side of this, and where would our daughter go to get training that's being described? Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for the call. Great question. Bruce, what would somebody's path to becoming a lay counselor be? Do we have an established path to do that?
Well, there's not a track for becoming a peer counselor as there is for becoming a professional counselor, for instance. There are several online services that provide peer counseling that somebody can access and apply to, be trained, and provide those services. They actually pay the peer counselors a reasonable wage for doing this. And many people do this as a part-time position because it brings satisfaction. They are providing a necessary service to people who need it. They're naturally empathic, caring individuals who are trained to provide successful strategies for people to cope with various issues in their lives. So there are opportunities, and I can provide, Rob, some websites for you after we're finished that you might post for this. But it is an opportunity for people who have this desire to be helpful and want to do this, partly because it may be reimbursable and it involve payment, but also because it's rewarding to do.
Thanks a lot for the call, Mark. We'll go to Maureen now in La Crosse. Maureen, hi.
Hi. I'm a retired psychiatric nurse who lived most of my life in Chicago and worked inpatient psychiatry, acute care. So I didn't do any individual counseling in terms of office. I worked with more severe cases. Mm-hmm. But I have had a lot of, I did take classes in Chicago at the Institute of Psychoanalysis. This was in the 80s. And I have had contact with many psychiatrists in my life and many therapists, social workers, so mm-hmm. forth. And I have a, although I am not a therapist, I do have a pretty good idea of the behind the scenes.
Gotcha. Maureen, with that background, what do you think about the lay counselor idea?
I think it's a very slippery slope.
Because?
One needs to be, and this has to do not with intentions, with good intentions, but because of very complexities in relationships that form between a needy person and the so-called counselor.
Gotcha. Maureen, thanks a lot for the call. A concern, I think, Bruce, that lay counselor or peer counselor with less training might find themselves, in effect, in over their heads.
Well, Maureen, I think this is an important point to raise. We're not saying that peer counseling is a substitute for mental health services. It's an idea, or I should say a service, that would bring benefit to many people. Now, complex cases, it may be that somebody needs psychiatric or psychological intensive treatment, but it may also be true that that same person would benefit from having a peer counselor, somebody who can spend the time in an understanding way and provide support. So it isn't either or a substitute for traditional mental health services. So it's, again, because we have this shortage of trained mental health professionals, and we know that, a small proportion of those people who would be officially diagnosed with a mental disorder are able to get treatment. So this is an opportunity both for those who can't access treatment to have somebody to talk to, but also as an adjunct for more severe patients to have someone who's available. You know, if you're suffering from a severe mental disorder and you have a psychiatrist, it's hard to get an appointment. So to have somebody who's available every week or more than that, who you can talk to, who understands you and is empathic, is very powerful.
Thanks for the call, Maureen. Another concern I've seen out there, Bruce, and actually one of our earlier callers mentioned it, the concerns about the legal side, the liability side for someone who's a lay counselor or in a peer counseling situation without those maybe more medical or trained credentials. Is that a concern for you? How could we tackle that?
Well, two things, and I wanted to answer in response to several of the previous questions too. It's important in psychotherapy, in psychiatric services, but also in peer counseling, to measure the mental health status of the people we're working with. If a particular peer counselor is not helping somebody, then we need to, just as we would with a therapist, find a different counselor. And so there needs to be accountability throughout the mental health system. In terms of liability, because this isn't a mental health professional, the liability is much different. So there isn't the licensure requirements that takes place with a licensed mental health professional. So the responsibilities are different and the liabilities are different.
Time for one more caller. Jacob is with us now in Green Bay. Jacob, hello.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. So I guess I just kind of have a question. I think improving mental health, services and availability across the board is phenomenal and much needed. I guess I'm just wondering between, you know, even like a lay counselor or peer support or a licensed professional, what mechanisms are in place to kind of audit or filter someone who is right for you? I've been in counseling off and on for 15 years, and sometimes you get aligned with somebody who is really not well suited for you. So between the two, you know.
Interesting, Jacob. Finding that fit between the person seeking counseling and the counselor, Bruce.
Well, that's important. We do have some evidence that some types of counselors are better with some types of patients, but the evidence is not very strong and it's difficult to implement. What's important is you find somebody with whom the fit is good. If it's not and you have given it a good faith effort, then find a different counselor. So it's important to get that fit, but it's a very personal thing. So I advise people, whether it's a peer counselor or a therapist, that you need to go to a sufficient number of sessions. If you're not making the progress you think you should be making, discuss this with the counselor or therapist. And it may be in that discussion, it's clear to you somebody else would be better.
Thanks for that call, Jacob. And Bruce, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Rob. It's a pleasure.
Bruce Wampold is an emeritus professor of counseling psychology at UW-Madison. We talked to him about recent efforts to train more non-traditional providers, including lay counselors and peer counselors, in part to help address the nationwide therapist shortage. If you or someone you know is struggling or in crisis, help is out there. Call or text 988 or chat 988lifeline.org. We'll get some of those resources from Bruce Wampold up at WPR.org Central Time later today. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.